Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with a special guest host, Troy Gauthier. Welcome, Troy.
Thank you.
Why don't you recap for our listeners what you are up to at Alliances Progress?
Well, thanks so much. Our company is specialized in building business partnerships and what we call business ecosystems, which are advanced value networks which enable companies to grow their revenues and their capabilities across geographies and service areas and product lines, things of that nature.
And you can develop these partnerships. It doesn't have to be in your local area. You can do them internationally as well, right?
Exactly. A lot of companies want to grow internationally, but they don't have the resources or the wherewithal to open an office, hire people. It's complex. Cultures are different. Markets are different. Clients are different. So if they partner with a local company who's installed in that country for many years, their chances of success go up exponentially. You lower the risk, and it's less expensive.
So in today's episode, we're going to be focusing on these partnering strategies.
Yeah.
And who'd you bring with you?
Well, Jack and Mike. I'll let them introduce themselves.
All right, let's start with Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Wittenstein. Thanks for having me on today, Troy. I really appreciate it. I run a company called Story Miners. We were founded in 2002, and we've been helping businesses improve their bottom line and their performance. And we do that by improving their customer experiences. When a customer has a great experience, they tell their friends a story about it. That story gives rise to word of mouth. That's where your new customers come from. So that's our deal.
And then does that work for businesses that are online as well as offline?
Absolutely.
So the same strategy holds, but they might tactically attack it differently?
Exactly. I prefer to work on what we call omnichannel, which is where you've got a store and a website and other things going on. But coordinating all those together so that the company feels the same in every touch point is the key.
So you need a congruent feeling throughout for the customer or the potential customer?
Perfect.
Now, how does partnering strategies impact your business?
Well, you know, I work in between research and implementation. So finding the right people at the right time is the challenge for me. Having a great partner network is so important because it helps me to find the folks at just the right time. When they've done their due diligence, when they know they need to do an experience, but they don't know who to turn to, that's when I get the call from my partners, which is terrific. When I'm doing the work and I need designers and film people and sound people and on and on and on, because it usually takes 1 to 2 dozen different specialties to get a good experience design done, I have my own partner network or can reach out to my colleagues. So we live, breathe, and eat partners all day long.
So in your case, the client rarely calls you first. They call somebody else and that person brings you in as a specialist?
That's about half of my business. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why the importance of partnering.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jack?
I am Vice President of Sales for North America for a professional services company called Adequare. And what Adequare does is to deliver customized software development leveraging leading-edge technologies such as mobile systems, e-commerce, data analytics, and business intelligence. And we also do software QA and testing to allow other software development organizations to deliver their solutions faster and more cost-effectively with higher quality.
So now, in your company, did you always have a business partner program in your mind, or did you think you would kind of go at it alone?
Well, we started looking at our company had been growing by about 30% per year, and we realized a couple of years ago that if we were going to sustain that growth rate, all it had been done entirely by word-of-mouth growth, that we needed to have a more effective strategic sales and marketing program in place. And as part of that, one of the first things that we undertook was to put together a partnering program to identify companies that were congruent with our needs and interests, complementary to those needs and interests, that could bring business to us or that we could bring in to assist us in delivering business so that we could refer business back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We engaged Troy and Alliances Progress to help us put together that partners program, identify potential partners here in Atlanta and around the country. Our primary focus has been in North America as far as the partner program is concerned, and that's been very successful. And of course, one of the first partners that Troy signed up into the program, in part because having known him for a decade or so, I recommended that he contact him, was Mike Wittenstein. And Troy also is not only helping us, has not only helped us develop and deliver the partner program, but he is also one of our partners too, and has been involved in referring business. So the whole process is really highly interactive among the partners, and we're big believers now in this concept of a partner ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any, Troy, I'll ask you this, what are some of the, what's a challenge in terms of managing the expectations when you have somebody that says, oh, you know, I'm going to help you grow your company throughout North America? Is that something they think you just flip a switch and all of a sudden there's dozens of potential partners out there and it's just, you know, kind of fish in a barrel? Or
yeah,
is there a lot of vetting? Like, what's the challenge?
There could be false expectations as far as time frame go. And so you're right. It's not a quick hit solution, although you can get lucky sometimes. And there are transactional deals you can do. But a true partner ecosystem does take time to develop. You have to learn what the other companies do, what their capabilities are, what types of resources they can bring to bear. And when you write joint bids, for example, to win new work, that's a tricky exercise because everyone has their own templates, their own methods, their own ways of working, their own specialties. So to put those together is truly, you know, you have to have a little magic sauce, and that's what we bring to the game.
Has that been your experience, Jack? Like, did you have a certain way of doing things and then the different partners had different ways and you needed somebody to kind of quarterback that to keep everybody on the same page?
Well, I think that's part of it. Even more so, Troy's initial comment was a good one. Investing in a partner ecosystem is a strategic investment. It's not a quick hit. You know, it's not about, gee, what can we do to boost next quarter sales?
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about, what are we going to do to continue to sustain growth next year and the year after? It's a longer-term investment for the most part, but it's one that's got great potential. So it takes some time to get the partners lined up, for the partners to identify the opportunities. And it's also important that the business who is trying to grow their partner network recognize the importance and invest in the resources necessary to support and sustain that partner network too.
Now, when you're kind of vetting a partner, is the challenge more from a skill standpoint or a culture standpoint?
Well, both. If it's internationally, then obviously culture and language and markets are different. So those require special attention. If it's a U.S. partner, then a lot of times it just has to do with making sure you're not stepping on each other's toes, or there's sometimes competition and cooperation built into the same relationship, and we call that coopetition. And we believe that these new ways of working, and out on the West Coast, for example, all the technology companies are doing business together, even those who are in direct competition with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you carve those market niches out and everybody play nice in the sandbox? We provide the governance and the facilitation for that process.
Now, Mike, from your standpoint, has this exceeded your expectations?
My expectations were exceeded right from the beginning when Troy gave me that first interview, because he really went deep into what is it that makes you work? How do you guys work? What are some of the values that you have? Who do you team up with best? He asked questions about previous assignments that I did, where I'm trending, and most importantly, what I need to learn and who I want to work with. So that part was fabulous. Knowing or assuming that he was vetting everybody else just like me, it built a tremendous amount of trust, because I know that he's going to be looking for good fits, mm-hmm. other companies and me and other companies. And he proved to me over time that he's got a pretty good nose for where's the deal, where's the opportunity. So if he's the bird dog and he's kind of pointing at where everybody needs to hunt together, where they need to cooperate and collaborate, I'm happy.
So now, Jack, from a financial standpoint, is this something that has been worth the time and effort to go in this direction?
Yes, absolutely. And it has paid off in a couple of different ways. One, we've already closed one deal. We've got several more in the pipeline. But it's also important to look at the things that are a little difficult to measure financially. For example, in the course of trying to get Mike involved with a deal with a prospective client, that particular prospective client was not ready to move ahead with the kinds of sophistication that Mike's services would entail.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that we had Mike talking with them and interacting with them in the course of the sales process increased our overall credibility that we were able to close our largest deal last year, in significant part as a result of the fact that Mike was involved in the process.
With that same client?
With that same client, yes.
So they weren't ready at that point, but...
Well, they were ready to do business with us, but he kind of helped us get over the hump in terms of establishing credibility in their market and industry.
Mike?
Yeah, sometimes customers they're hiring a company, but they're a little bit nervous because they don't know if everything's going to pan out exactly as they foresaw. So they want a little bit of latitude. They want to buy a little bit more than they need, but they don't want to pay for it right away. So coming in with a partner network that everyone trusts and everyone understands, that's cooperative and collaborative, means the customer has a much better chance, no matter what happens, of getting what they need and having that team cross the finish line with them.
So now, how do you address that concern? How do you incrementally add that value in a manner that they can kind of try it on? It seems like they weren't ready at one point. At some point, they were ready. How did you bridge that gap?
It's all about choice architecture. It's how far does the customer want to go? What do they want to focus on first? And how much do they want to bite off? Mm-hmm. So my services were a little bit of a bigger bite in a different direction, and that wasn't the best first step for them. But knowing that Troy and Jack are in there when the time presents itself, when it's right for them, I know I'll be back in, and I won't have to pay for all that complex sales support cost in the meantime.
Right.
And one thing I'd like to add is that when we use these strategic alliance relationships, we're really looking for the ability to leverage subject matter expertise, qualifications across industries. It allows small to medium-sized businesses to present themselves as large global players with their industry expertise, with their service offerings, across geographies. And this is a game changer for a lot of small to mid-sized companies.
Mm-hmm, because it allows them to have the same offerings as the larger firms without the overhead expenses.
And the expertise. Because, for example, I know what Mike does and when I would call him for certain things and not call him for other things. But then we have other partners as well, individuals and companies, who have expertise and in other areas or are located in other parts of the world or have specific qualifications with the question that the client is asking us for. Mm-hmm. So we can bring to bear all of these resources, all of these expertise, all of these global capabilities in a very short period of time without the expense and the complexity of building it yourself.
So now, what are some of the landmines that you have to watch out for?
Well, sometimes people don't want to share. So, it's better to get half the pie than none of the pie. And so
when you say people, you mean the partners that are involved?
It could be the partners involved, or it could be the clients. You know, they might be dubious about, you know, having three or four different companies working on their solution. And so my job is to make sure that both the partners and the clients feel comfortable that we know each other, we've worked together before, we have shared many experiences in the trenches, and that helps us to be credible and also put forth the best solution for the client.
And the person that is the closest to the client, how do you kind of help them navigate that so that if something does go awry, that they're able to, you know, make it right and to maybe replace one of the partners or to fix a problem that's occurred?
Yeah, that's right. There's always a prime, and that's the one who owns the client, and they're the ones that are asking for help within the partner ecosystem. And so my job is to make sure that I put forth the best quality resources and the best companies to partner with the client that owns the partner that owns the prime is, mm-hmm. is the prime and it owns the client, so that they can provide the best solution.
So you're working kind of side by side the prime.
Yeah, that's right. And also within the ecosystem, because, for example, Jack and Mike might end up doing business together among themselves. And that's great. I mean, I'm not jealous. I'm not trying to control everything.
Right.
So my goal is to put these people into business relationships so that they feel that I'm always adding value. And if you do that well, and you do that with great assiduity and acumen, they will call you back, and they'll want to use you. And like any business, mm-hmm. it's a little bit more complex in that these are not colleagues. These are not one company, but multiple companies.
Right.
So it's an alliance relationship. It's a partnering relationship. It's a business ecosystem, but I'm a very strong believer that this is the way the world is moving, and that in the very near future, we'll all be working for multiple clients and multiple people.
Multiple projects at the same time.
And so the more we do this now, the more you're ahead of the curve and able to leverage that partner expertise, and it's a differentiator in the marketplace.
And Jack, I wanted to ask you, you were the prime, I guess, in that example?
We were the prime in the example that I described earlier.
Right. And so then Troy was helping you kind of find the right partners that
exactly.
you needed to execute?
Exactly. Troy was helping us find the right partners to build the partner ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we look at it is there's a variety, because at first we came in with the misunderstanding that it's all about finding partners who are going to bring us leads for business, which we can then close and pay the partner a referral fee, or perhaps work with the partner. Well, then we realized after a while, no, there's a much more sophisticated and broad set of opportunities that come out of this. One is, as we discovered very quickly with the story that that Mike told you, is that the partners can help us get business.
Mm-hmm.
A second is that we can bring the partner in as a subcontractor when the partner brings a specific skill set like Mike's or Troy's to help us meet the needs of our client. But also, there's opportunities out there in the partner ecosystem as a whole. If we've got a large number of partners out there that are in communication with one another and staying in contact and recognizing that they've got complementary skill sets, those people can do business with each other too. And as long as they're doing it and they're part of the Adequare partner network in that particular case, there's going to be spin-off business of one kind or another for Adequare that's naturally going to result when, in the course of their partnering with one another, they realize we need a third set of skills, and it happens to be one that Adequare can fulfill as the sort of hub of that particular partner network. We're the logical ones for them to turn to.
And so as the prime in this example, you're kind of connected to them. If something spins off, it's always an Adequare relationship with
well,
the client?
Well, it's not so much that it's formally required. You know, it's not like a contractual relationship that says you must engage Adequare for this or that type of thing. It's more that we're at the hub of a partner network that includes a bunch of partners. Now, many of these partners are also going to be partners in networks of other organizations
right.
that are at the hub. Most of our partners are individuals or small businesses of less than a dozen people or so. With 500 people in our company, we're sort of the big gorilla. But that doesn't mean that two or three of our partners might not agree to get together and do some kind of project. But if in the course of those activities taking place, they discover that there's a need for the specific skill sets or scale that we could bring to bear,
right.
then we're the logical ones for them to turn to.
It's in their best interest to go back to you.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the compensation of the partners. I'm afraid that it could get into this transactional, I'm going to get a referral fee from everybody everywhere, or is it more relationship driven where you're just looking out for your client the best you can and you want to put the best people on the job?
Very much the latter if you're doing it right. Now, that isn't to say the partner is not compensated, but it's a matter of on a case-by-case basis, you structure the compensation in a way that makes business sense for everybody.
Right.
So that the partner is compensated fairly, it doesn't cost the prime an inordinate amount of their margin, and it still can be delivered to the customer for a good price.
Now, like in the case of you and Mike, if you had the opportunity, you bring Mike in, Mike does great work, and then another division hires Mike, is that still an adequate account, or is that now Mike has his own thing going now?
That would really depend on the circumstances, and we'd work that out. You know, it might be a situation where it was actually booked through Adequare, if it was very closely related to work we were doing mm-hmm. together. If it was completely unrelated to work that we were doing together but happened to be the same company, maybe some kind of referral fee would be appropriate. But, you know, that really depends on the situation. I mean, we hadn't encountered that particular case, but
right.
I mean, as a hypothetical, that's a good example of what could
occur.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Troy, is that part of your role, that you're helping them navigate this and to keep everybody happy at all the steps?
Yeah, my goal with my company, Alliances Progress, is to help my partner network grow their revenues and grow their capabilities. And so part of that could be helping to determine the partner agreement and the compensation schemes. But usually we don't try to start with that, because if you get into the haggling of the money right from the beginning, it's usually not a good way to start your partnership
right.
relationship. But yeah, everybody has to make money. That's important.
Now, are there kinds of business situations that are a better fit for this than others?
The areas of business that we're growing the fastest in right now are technology companies, biopharma companies, and professional services companies. However, partner networks and ecosystems work across all industries, all geographies, all sizes of companies, and the real art to the designing and the implementation of a partner ecosystem is the degree to which you want the relationships to be tight or loose.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has friends, and if you see a piece of work, you might refer a friend. That's a very loose relationship,
right.
And just, you know. And then you also have very tight relationships. A large consulting firm, everyone knows Deloitte Consulting.
Right.
They're a partner network, a member firm organization. So each of the Deloitte offices around the world is an independent company, like a franchise. But they're very tight in, you can't do anything, you can't say anything, you have to do certain things in a certain way with certain methods and certain rates and things like of that nature. So our model typically is in between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a small company, they want pragmatic, fast, quick, good solutions and not bureaucracy or large partner agreements. Usually the larger the partner agreement, the more difficult it is to implement.
So what's a baby step that a company could get started with this?
Well, you can call me.
Why don't we have Jack answer this, because you went through it from start to finish, right? Was your first move to say kind of philosophically we want to go in this partner direction?
Yeah. Yes. Right. And the rest of the senior management team had come to the conclusion that putting together a partner network was something that was going to be desirable.
And then when did Troy get on your radar?
Well, I reached out through a business networking group that I'm involved in here in Atlanta. And because I understood, I was assigned responsibility for...
It was your problem.
Yes,
you
your problem to solve.
Right.
Okay.
So then you
and
ran
I said,
it.
I understand it. I can solve this problem.
So
to solve the problem, I need somebody who's a real expert. I reached out through my business networking community and I said, hey, who has got some deep expertise on some of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a number of probably a half a dozen different people said, either I can help you or I know someone who can help you. And in one of those latter cases, they introduced me to Troy, and after talking with several other people and Troy, I felt he was the right guy for the job.
Now, was your first inclination that, oh, I'll just Google this and do this on my own?
No.
So you were always going to look for somebody outside to consult or to help you in this
that
area?
That was exactly the way I wanted to start. I recognized the strategic importance of it, and I realized that I needed somebody who had hands-on experience in doing this. And if you had a chance to hear Troy's interview from last week, he has, you know, exactly that kind of thing in his background. And it's paid off very well. Let me mention one other example of the kind of role that he can play. Adequare is in turn a partner member for in a partner ecosystem of a much, much larger global enterprise, you know, tens of thousands of employees around the world. And in that role, we've been able to secure business with this large company that we almost certainly would not have been able to get if we weren't a member of that. Mm-hmm. And in trying to get some follow-on business that we are working on with this company, things got a bit hung up with our key contacts. We weren't getting responses. It wasn't moving as quickly as I had anticipated that it would. So I finally talked to Troy and I said, what's going on at the hub company here? Are there an issue? And he, as their advisor, their partnering advisor, was working more closely with them. And he was able to say, here are some of the strategic changes taking place in the organization. And that's going to be slowing down the progress of this deal for nothing that has anything to do with the value of the deal for the client. So basically, chill, take your time. And if it's a good deal for the client, it'll come around soon enough. And at this point, things are looking very encouraging, hopefully for next quarter. But at any rate, it gave us some insights that we would not have been able to have arm's length vendor relationship. Right.
And then so at the beginning of your relationship, when you had that first conversation, can you walk us through that a little bit?
You mean the very first time that Troy and I met?
Yeah. When you talked about this in a business.
We had dinner and a glass of wine.
Because that goes to your point of this is about building relationships.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it's
exactly
not a transaction.
Right. That's not a joke. It was truly, that's the way it happened. And, you know, what are you trying to do? How are you trying to do it? You know, and then, so it's really an investigative process. Sometimes there's not, you know, it's not a good fit. And it's not, you know, and then you have to big enough professional to say, no, I'm sorry, I don't think this is the mm-hmm. right time or the right fit for you. But Jack and I met and we had a conversation and I knew already quite a few people and he did too. And I said, well, let's start bringing in the people that we know into the ecosystem, like Mike, for example. We've worked together in the past for years. And so that creates a level of comfort for your core partner team that you can then expand out. And then when you go out to the West Coast, maybe you don't know as many people, or you go to Texas and you find partners there, you don't really know them, but you have a core team of people and a core group of professionals that you're used to working with, and that really helps a lot. And and then we wrote the project and agreed to the level of effort and time, and like any consulting project, and it took us about a year to build the Adequare Eco Partner system, and it's working great. And the more successful they are, the happier I am.
So now, is that a reasonable
explanation?
Expectation.
Is that amount of expectation of time to give this type of thing for working? Is that about, you want a year?
Yeah, it all depends. For example, if it's a pure channel play, sometimes you have a product company that wants to push its product through a channel into a new market, especially abroad. Mm-hmm. That can go much faster because all you need to do is find distribution partners.
Right.
And there's no intelligence built into the network. However, if you want to be able to wrap value-added services around that, and you want to have a true ecosystem which is has feedback loops and intelligence built into the relationships, then yeah, you have to meet, you have to work on deals, you have to fail, and I would say a year is a reasonable amount of time. Yeah.
Is there any?
What's your experience, Mike?
You know, I think it depends on the kind of deal. Just like you said, some are super easy. This kind of deal making is great when you're trying to do four things. You're trying to get to market faster. You've got to reach a broader market. You've got to increase the depth that you've got, or you've got to build the size of your bench. And each one of those depends on the kind of business that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to just hustle and get a few new projects in the door, it's also a very good way to start. The trick is to give Troy the right instructions. So he's finding the right people in the right situations and can make those marriages happen. He's kind of like a Yenta in that sense.
Did you know that, Troy?
No, I'm learning that, but that's a partner comment, and I accept it and embrace it.
Are you going to put that on your website?
No, probably not.
Partner Yenta.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's
what
a
about
really
a Sherpa? I like that better, yeah.
Sherpas are stronger.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, though, because there are so many people that you could go out and meet. You know,
right.
Look on the internet. There are tens of thousands of people. Where do you start? Who do you talk to? So since Troy's built a number of these things before, he knows where to get started. He knows how to have the right kind of conversation, and he knows how to tell who's real good and who's not.
Right.
And this is also quite interesting in what we call David and Goliath relationships, where a big, giant, multinational, multi-billion-dollar global company wants to work in a market, and they need the expertise of a small boutique firm. And so those relationships are not easy to establish and make work because, you know, these are entrepreneurs and independents and very self-managing, and they're not used to big corporate structures. So that's a nice way that I can also add some value to facilitate those types of relationships as well.
Can you share an example of that?
Well, with Adequare, it's a company that, Jack, what's your turnover in Adequare? About 30 million?
Yeah, something like 30 that.
30 million. Well, we just partnered recently with a company, a $15 billion company, and they are really happy that they're able to provide some of the IT solutions that they were using that weren't quite as refined and quite as expertise. And it was an easy fit. And if you can put the pieces together, you know, voila.
And that's a situation where this much larger firm, you wouldn't even be on the radar.
Wouldn't even be on the radar. Wouldn't be referenced. Yeah. Wouldn't be. Yeah, that's right. And so,
and quite frankly, we don't typically bother going after business, proactively soliciting business from firms that time, because you can spend a year just trying to find out the right person to talk to.
Right.
But in this case, Troy was able to make the introductions. We got connected to the right people. We were able to bring some focused expertise that they didn't have readily available. And it's worked very well.
And we can streamline the process like yay signed or getting on the procurement list and things like that, which are, you know, tough to do in big companies. Mm-hmm. Those are challenges that keep a lot of small to mid-sized companies from working with large
firms. Yeah, they don't
even
try because it's
just
too complex.
Too complex, takes too long, you know, and you need lawyers almost to get, you know, the stuff done. So I was able to help Adequare in this case, and it was an easy fit, and everybody's happy, and it was like a small business deal.
So your role is as the matchmaker?
Could be. Yeah, I like that. and certainly. But it's also providing the governance, because once you make the match, they still have to be able to execute on the partner strategy.
Right. And you have to make sure that both sides are getting what they desire, they desire.
That's right. And sometimes it's not 50-50. Sometimes it's 70-30. But that's still okay if everyone is happy and you win the business that you would not have won without the partner relationship.
Right, Mike?
I think it's also important to know that Troy plays the role of strategist, because when a business owner is talking to him, they're saying, what are the different ways I can achieve X, my goal, you know, growth, whatever it is. And he's sharing with them different ways that can happen. So he's reaching out into the rest of the business, not just into the, the partner ecosystem. Very valuable in that regard too.
And then when it comes to fees, is it valuable in that now they're not really shopping anymore, they're buying? Because you're suggesting go with this person. They're not going, okay, let me get five mics and compare them to each other.
Yeah, that could be one a benefit. I'm also
not that there are five mics anywhere.
No, there's only one. I'm also the president of the Association of Strategic Alliance Professionals for the Southeast Region, and that includes 8 U.S. states and all of Latin America. And we just had a big global summit meeting in Orlando last week.
How many members are there altogether?
Oh, there's a couple thousand.
Wow.
And we had probably 500 people. But it's amazing to see these large companies, how they're building out the strategic alliance professional. So these large companies have hundreds of people running around doing these partner agreements. And, you know, you don't want it to turn into a bureaucracy. And so how do you do that? And this is a profession that didn't exist just a few years ago.
Right.
And so these are new trades and new crafts and new ways of working. The technology that underpins the ability to work across geographies anytime, anywhere, any device, those are real key as well, because we don't have the constraints of that we had in the past. We just have the cultural issues of fitting together and agreeing and working in an open ecosystem, which I'm a big believer of, not a closed system. And so, you know, and so if you can get people to do that on your platform with your services, you know, that's a winner.
Right. Now, is this something that the American firms are leading in, or has this been going on outside of America?
The U.S. and the European firms are further along than in the emerging markets, Asia-Pac or Latin America or Africa, for the simple reason that the business models are more mature. So, the U.S. companies, once again, on the West Coast are doing it more than the companies on the East Coast, because mm-hmm. they're more, you know, futuristic and younger, and they don't
have... And they're open to this collaboration.
They're open to collaboration. And for example, we just saw in the paper a huge deal that was signed by IBM and Apple. Well, these are very strange companies to be partnering right. together in the marketplace. I mean, these are, and you know, and you see these deals all the time. Every week, you see a new big giant deal like this, which is, and you can use it for marketing, you can use it for sales, you can use it for fulfillment and delivery, you can use it for knowledge capture, you can use it, as I said, to grow internationally. So these are really fun and sophisticated and cost-effective solutions for companies of all sizes. And U.S. firms in the traditional industries, I would say, are a little bit lagging behind, and the high-tech, newer industries are a little bit ahead of the game by the nature of the of their work.
So now, before we wrap, I'd like everybody to get a chance again to talk about what their businesses and kind of best client for you guys. Let's start with Mike. What are you up to with Story Miners again, and what does a good client look like for you?
A good client for us is a mid-market business that's looking to improve the value for its customers by differentiating the customer experience. Great projects for me include Store of the Future and anytime a business wants to prototype its new services.
Do you work in the franchising world at all?
Yes, we do.
And Jack?
A good client for Adequare is typically a small to mid-sized organization that is looking to leverage emerging technologies and deliver innovative capabilities to their markets, to their people, and needs to be able to bring in expertise in mobile systems, e-commerce, data analytics, or software QA and testing. So, of course, in that case, very often, it's technology companies themselves mm-hmm. that are looking to either improve their QA processes or have external expertise assist them in delivering solutions that incorporate those other emerging technologies.
And this is established firms, not startups?
Well, in some cases, we work with well-funded startups that are looking, for example, they have a brilliant idea about a new mobile system that they would like to deliver, and they understand the market and the needs, but they don't have the expertise to build the software themselves, and we can build the software for them. Or similar types of situations. We sometimes help startups to implement their first e-commerce platform, for mm-hmm. example.
And website for you guys?
Website is www.adequare, spelled ADAEQUARE.com.
And Mike, your website?
Storyminers.com.
All right. And Troy, what's your best client look like?
Jack and Mike. First of all, thanks so much for inviting me in. And Radio X, great. And I did an interview a few weeks ago, and you said, well, show us a couple of partners, mm-hmm. show us a couple of clients, show us some real. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back in the studio, and it's fun to work with you guys. Our clients are large and small across industries, across geographies. Anyone who wants to build a partner ecosystem and isn't sure that they have the internal capabilities to do it or the experience or the expertise, we can facilitate that process, make it go faster, smarter, and make sure it works.
And you only work with the best, right? Because that's part of the value you add to all your engagements.
Well, we work with the best who also are good payers. No, I'm just teasing. We would like to be able to work with only the best. Some companies are not very good at it because they've never done it before. Mm-hmm. So they're not the best at partnering. And, right. and in fact, they have old 19th century thinking about linear supply chains and old client supplier relationships. And so we try to upgrade their thinking as well as implement their partner networks for them.
And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to learn more, is there a website?
www.alliancesprogress.com. And my name is Troy Gauthier. And thanks again for inviting me.
All right. Well, thank you, Troy. Thank you for putting this together. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.